1 John chapter 4, let's start in verse 7, and then we'll concentrate on verses 13 and 14 tonight. 1 John chapter 4, starting verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Now we remember from last week how we were exhorted that we also ought to love one another. And ought, the word ought there was not a suggestion, more of a commandment that we must love one another just as Christ has loved us. And that no one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us. God's love should be seen in our actions on how we love each other. So with that said, verse 13, let's read again. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. Now, right away, two key words here in the first part of this verse. And we all should be very familiar with these two words. The first one is know. The Greek is gnosko, okay? Meaning to come to know, to gain or receive a knowledge of, and the perfect implies a completed action, okay? Second key word then is abide, okay? Meno, or dwell. The relation in which one person or thing stands with another. Thus, to remain in or with someone, i.e. to be and remain united with him in heart, mind, and will. So we, by this, we know and we abide in Him, in Christ, in God. We know and we abide in Him. Now we know from last week that He abides in us from the love. How do we know? Because of the love that comes from out of us to each other. Because we can't conjure up this love on our own. Okay, but it's His nature that produces that love in us to go out and love one another. So that's one way that we know that He abides in us. Again, being that that love is from God. But we also know that we abide in Him and that He abides in us because in our verse here, He has given us His Spirit. So by this, we know a completed act here. We know that we abide, remain, dwell in Him. Why? And He in us, because He has given us His Spirit, God the Spirit. It is the proof of our fellowship with God. How? How is it the proof? How is it that God given us of His Spirit, how is that the proof that we abide in Him and Him in us? Well, because what fruit is being produced by the Spirit? If you will, turn to Galatians chapter 5. And this is one that we all should be familiar with. If not, familiarize yourself with it. Memorize it. For this is the fruit that comes forth from the Spirit. And if the Spirit was given to us this should be the fruit that comes out of us that is produced by the Spirit. Amen? So Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now notice here, what is first? Love. What has the Apostle John been hammering home, been writing over and over about that we also ought to be doing? Love. Why? And that is because God is love. And if we claim to be God's children, Christians, then love should be seen in our lives. It should be demonstrated by how we act with one another, how we treat each other, and that people should see us loving one another in our words to each other, when we are edifying one another, when we are encouraging one another. That is love. When we help one another, when we see a brother who doesn't have anything to eat, love is feeding him. You know, remember the example of if we see a brother or a sister who doesn't have a coat, and we have two, what would love be in that case? Give him your coat. Remember, we love in deed and in truth, not in words. We shouldn't say, well, be warm and be well fed, and then do nothing about it. If the Spirit lives inside of us, if He abides in us, and if His fruit produces love, then that should be coming from out of us. And that's how we know, ginosko. That's how we know that He abides in us and we with Him. Because we make sure that our brother or sister has a coat, that he is fed, that they have somewhere to stay. Because of the fruit that comes forth from the Spirit. Let's continue. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. Joy. Are we a cranky bunch of people? Are we grumpy? Granted, on occasion, keep in mind we're sinners. And we get grumpy and bad moods every once in a while. But that's not an excuse. That should not be a continuous thing, right? Should a Christian always be grumpy and mad and in bad moods? No. Joy. God has done a great work in our lives, right? We were dead. He made us alive. He's called us His children. We're sons and daughters of God Almighty. We're going to have eternal life worshiping Him. We have much to be joyful about. Amen? Peace. Should Christians have peace? What about when things are going bad? What about when we're getting made fun of at school because we're Christians? You know, when our parents don't let us go see a certain movie or don't let us spend the night at a certain friend's house because they don't know their parents. Maybe they're not Christians and who knows what they'll let the kids watch. Or how about, you know, when the kids are giving us a hard time because, you know, we never cuss or whatever. And we start receiving some persecution, made fun of, you know, or things are just going rough for us. Should we have peace in those times? Yes. All the more. Because again, God is at work always in our lives. He is sovereign. He is in control of all things. So even in the valleys, we have peace because we know, ginosko, that God is in control. And I'm going through this tough time for His purpose. It might be that I'm learning a lesson that He wants me to learn. It might be that He's disciplining me. He might be taking me out behind the woodshed. Because He disciplines the ones He loves. And we should be thankful for that. He keeps us in that discipline. long-suffering or patience? Are we a people who are patient with each other or just patient in general? You know, I'll be honest, you know, sometimes I struggle with this one. And God deals with me. He disciplines me, and I am so thankful because I, as a child of God, am to be patient in all areas of my life, at work, at home, with my family here, with outsiders. I am to be a person of patience because that is a fruit that who is producing? God the Spirit. And if He abides in me, that patience, that long-suffering should be seen in my life. Goodness. Faithfulness. Do we have goodness in our hearts? Are we faithful people? Gentleness. Are we gentle? Self-control. Do we lack self-control? Do we lash out at people and say hurtful things to each other? Or we just lose control? If that's a continuous problem, that's not a good thing. Because the fruit of the Spirit that He produces is self-control. We are to be young men and young women who have self-control. Because who are we guided by? The Spirit. He leads us. He guides us. And again, if He dwells or abides in us, we are to be self-controlled. Right? Led by the Spirit. Again, these things are the evidence that indeed God the Spirit abides in you and I and will remain. He will never leave. He will remain in us for always. He will lead us. He will help us. He will guide us. He will convict us. Amen. John 14, verses 16, 17, and 26 say this, and this is Jesus talking with His disciples. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He will abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, gnosko, for He dwells, meno, with you and will be in you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all things that I said to you. So here with the disciples, He's encouraging them. He's telling them, look, the Helper will be sent to you. He will be in you. He will remain with you forever. He will remind you of the things that I have taught you so that you can go and teach them. He will help. He will encourage. He will teach. He will lead. He will guide. Forever. And what a good thing that is, because that same Helper is in you and I, if you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in Him. Amen. Love is produced by the Spirit in us, as well as other fruits that we read in Galatians 5. Now flip back to 1 John. So remember, by this we know. It's not something that I'm not sure. We know, absolutely without a doubt, that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us the Spirit. So verse 14. And we have seen and testify that the Father hath sent the Son as the Savior of the world. We, John says, probably referring to himself and the other disciples, but also maybe some here who he's writing to who are maybe older, because when John wrote this, he is in his advanced age. He's he's an elderly guy at this point. Okay, so definitely himself and some of the other disciples, the apostles, and also possibly others whom he's writing to, who were also maybe older, who also saw Jesus with their eyes. Because remember, how did John start off here in 1 John chapter 1? That we've seen with our eyes, our hands have handled, we've touched, we've heard, right? So we probably, again, referring to himself, the other disciples, and maybe a few in who he's writing to, okay? That they had seen Jesus with their own eyes. Now keep in mind, let us not forget here, that John has been emphasizing what? Love. 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 God is love. And in his very essence, he is love. And his children love. Because we are his children. He has made us his children. Therefore, the evidence is that we love. The Spirit has been given to us to love. Right? John is emphasizing love in a Christian's life. So this verse is a reminder of God's love to us. Well, how? How is we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. How is that God's love to me? Well, remember that God would send His Son, His only begotten Son, to be our Savior. And yes, we were in need of a Savior. We were spiritually dead and could do nothing to save ourselves. We could not love Him, if you remember. We were without hope in this world. Lost. And so God, sending His Son to be our Savior, is love. That is love. And remember, here you have the Apostle John, even as an old guy now, and that's not in a disrespectful way, he's just an elderly man now, he is still mindful of this and thankful that he himself, John, the one whom Christ loved, one of the sons of thunder, the apostle who had some of the most intimate times with Christ, saw things that some of the other disciples didn't even see. He is still so amazed by God's love for him. For even John was dead in his sins, without hope, in need of a Savior. And God sent His Son to be John's Savior. Just as He sent His Son to be your Savior and my Savior, to rescue us, to die on the cross for our sins, that His blood would wash away our sins, that He was nailed to the cross to be the propitiation, to pay that price that you and I owed. He received all the wrath upon Himself that was due us. That's love by God for sending His Son and by Jesus for paying the price for you and I. And John is always mindful of this. He never forgets this. He never takes this for granted. He reminds us, beloved, what an amazing love. What does he write? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Children of God. If the Apostle John always keeps this mindset and realizes just how much God has loved him, we too should be encouraged to let this be right here on our minds and hearts, that God has loved us. He sent His Son for you to die in your place so that you can have life. You can have salvation. Let that be right here and here always. God has loved you. God has loved you. William Burkett writes this, "And as God is love, so we again affirm that he that dwelleth in love, that is, he who has love as the prevailing habit in his heart and as the governing principle of his life, dwelleth by communion in God. As the eye dwells in the light, and as one friend by love dwells in another, and God, by His Spirit of love, dwelleth in him. As we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world." The Greek here is soter, soter. And it's of Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior of men, who saves His people from guilt and power of sin and from eternal death and punishment and judgment and misery because of the consequences of sin that we were enslaved to. Did you get that all? And God, who is rich in mercy, would send His Son to die for us, gives us, His children, eternal life and blessedness in His kingdom. What greater love is there? There isn't. But you and I should have this same love flowing from out of us because He has given us His Spirit. And the fruit of His Spirit is love. If you are a child of God, you should have love for everyone that you see right here. We should have love for everyone, but much more the brethren, fellow Christians, sacrificing our wants, our needs for each other. Because the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. 1 John 3:24. "Now he who keeps his commandments," and what are the commandments? "To love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor." So now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know, genosko, that he abides in us. We are assured of that he indeed is in us. He remains in us by the Spirit whom he has given to us. Let us love, for the Spirit abides in you and I. So love should be pouring out of us, of every aspect of our lives, in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. The world should see love. We should see love to each other because the Spirit abides in us. And we are His children. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great word we have here. Your word is alive. And it's so amazing. And so again, Lord, we ask that your word would accomplish its work in our lives. That as we have heard your word tonight, Lord, that we would not leave here unchanged. That your word would convict us It would change us and mold us and shape us into your Son's glorious image, that we might be imitators of you who are holy and perfect. May we strive to be holy as you are. Even when we fall, let us stand and continue for that prize of the upward call in Christ. Let us love, for you have given us of your Spirit, and He dwells in us. He abides in us and will remain in us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will remain in us forever. And what an encouragement and what peace there is in that. That the Helper, the Leader, the One who will guide us, protect us, convict us, exhort us, will remain in us and will produce love in our lives. And it's by the authority of Jesus that we can pray. Amen.